Ride Unicorn. I'm super pumped about today's guest. He is from the Banter Blender and B-Side blog, runs some really awesome stuff. Also, one of the co-hosts of Watch What Crappens, an amazing podcast that y'all should be listening to. We have Ben Mandelker.
Hi, how's it going? Thank you so much for having me on here and the lovely platitudes. That's so nice.
Oh my God, I'm so into like the notion of someone being as obsessed with pop culture as I am.
I am obsessed with that too. So I guess we're just obsessed with each other already.
No,
right?
Thank God. Match made in heaven.
Well, and it should be noted that we are recording this podcast in the shadow of the Viacom building here in Hollywood. So
yeah.
We are kind of at like ground zero of pop culture.
I really feel like that's a good omen for the entire episode.
It's a huge, wonderful omen.
Right?
Yeah.
Thank you so much for being here. I'm super pumped. I feel like I'm just like so excited because I fell in love with Watch What Crappens last winter. It was the only thing that got me to the gym. Because
really?
I would like LOL on the treadmill.
I wish it would get me to the gym. That would be really nice.
It's like, gym culture really stresses me out.
Yeah.
And so I would just laugh about the housewives the whole time.
Plus you're also Chicago based. So like having to get to a gym in winter, that takes like an extra oomph. You know,
right?
That like I think that Angelinos probably don't appreciate.
Oh my God. I mean, it happened for like a month and then I was done.
Okay. And then we just helped you just get through
the
day.
Exactly.
You know, which is also important.
Get me to the train, get me wherever I was going.
Exactly.
Can I ask, how did Watch What Crappens like come to be?
Well, we have a really fun origin story. So, for people who don't know what Watch What Crappens is, it's a podcast that's all about Bravo, and I co-host it with Ronnie Karam. Ronnie and I met like back around 2005 or 6 or so because I used to actually run a TV blog called TVgasm, and when I left it, Ronnie was one of our writers and he took it over, and we kept in touch, and then around 2010 or so, I was hired to be the host of a video web series called Housewife Hoedown, which was all about the Real Housewives, and it was a startup web content network that was run by actually someone who formerly was like the head of Viacom, which, see, it's all fate.
Oh my God.
Like, I feel his soul looking down on me. He's still alive though. So I was hired to be the host of that. And every week I had to find like guests to come on. So I was like, well, Ronnie's really funny and he'd be a good guest. So I brought him on. And then my friend Matt Whitfield, who is a editor at Yahoo, he was always very smart and sharp, so I'd bring him on, and then sometimes I'd bring them both on, and we just had great chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, when the web series, like the whole, when that network kind of folded, because it didn't quite get its, it was a little bit before its time, we were like, well, we still want to keep talking about these housewives, and let's like talk about Bravo in general. So we started up Watch What Crappens in 2011, which is three guys. We did it over Skype, and now it's like 5.5 years later, 5.5 plus, and now it's like become a thing. So
that's truly amazing. When do you think that Watch What Crappens really like gained traction as far as like how many listeners and all that stuff?
Well, we've had a bunch of bumps along the way where like usually it's like a big guest will come on and we'll get a bump from them. We got one of our first significant bumps was from Heather McDonald when she came onto our podcast, and then we got to go onto hers, and her listeners are all super cool, and she was so cool to come onto our show, and she really spread the love, so that was a big boost for us, you know. And then this past year, I feel like something changed. It was like I think it was a mixture of a few things. You know, Stassi gave us a shout out on her podcast.
That's why I listened to it,
And that, when Stassi mentioned that she listened to it and it like caused tears to go down her eyes, and we shot to like the top of the iTunes charts and were there for about 6 weeks just because Stassi mentioned
so
it
crazy.
Once. Yeah, but we also had Lisa Rinna on during that time, and Heather came back, and so I think it was just somehow everything just fell into place. And it was like that critical mass, and this year it has gone from being like a fun side thing to like really being like a full-time gig that we can be proud of, you know?
That's truly incredible. Can I ask, as someone who's like obsessed with pop culture the way you are, you've made connections with a lot of the Bravo celebrities at this point.
Yes.
You've hung out with them.
Yeah.
Has it made it more difficult for you to do the show?
It's a little more difficult, especially because you know, I am also, I do feel like I am a black-haired Junicorn. Mm-hmm. You know, we are both of the tribe, I'm assuming. I'm assuming yours is spelled Junicorn like J-E-W, not June as in like a tribute to the month of June.
No.
that's ridiculous. So, you know, like I'm like a good Jewish boy at heart, and like I never want to like hurt people's feelings. Mm-hmm. So if I meet someone, I don't want to be like, oh, yeah, I've said nasty things about you. But the good thing is that I don't think we're ever too nasty. I mean, I try not to be. I really try to be, like, funny and smart about it and be shady without being like, she's just a fat whore.
Right.
She's a fat pig. Unfortunately, I think probably over the span of 5.5 years and, like, nearly 600 episodes, I probably have crossed that line and been like, been a little
inevitable.
Too nasty. You know, because sometimes the shade takes over and I can't help
it.
Like, if I'm hangry, then, you know, it's like, it could be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
But then I always tell myself, to be fair, they put themselves out there for this.
Mm-hmm.
And also, honestly, what we always tell them, whenever we run into someone who's like a reality star that maybe we've been like a little too shady to, we're always like, look, we know we've been shady, but we also know you're probably just like a very nice, normal person, and we're just reacting to what we're seeing on TV. We're presented characters like any other TV show,
right.
And we're just trying to recapture what it's like to watch a show with your friend on the couch, you know,
right.
Where you sit there and you crack jokes, and we're just sort of like giving a voice to that, and that's, I think, why people like it, because we're not too nasty.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like you feel like you're like talking to your friends.
Right, right. And it feels like a conversation. Like, I want to respond to the things you guys say, which is a fun feeling.
That's one thing that we get a lot. We get a lot of people who are like, whenever we do our live shows, people are like, oh my God, you guys are like my best friends. It feels weird because I know you, but you guys don't know me. And like, that's really cool. And I get it because I listen to podcasts. So I'm like that with other podcasts.
Yeah.
But in terms of like, is it make it tricky to know these people? It probably will. Like, for instance, Ronnie and I went to a wedding this weekend in Mexico. And
oh, Ariana.
Yeah, Tom and Ariana, Tom Sandoval and Ariana Maddox from Vanderpump Rules were guests. And we had previously hung out with them like a month ago. And then we spent like all weekend with them. And we had so much fun with them. Like genuine, like they were genuinely our friends.
Mm-hmm.
And so to then know that Vanderpump Rules is coming back in a month. And like, we want to still be true to our voice as podcasters. And they know that too. They're like, listen, we know what you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
But that's tricky.
Yeah.
It's a weird situation to be in.
Yeah.
You know?
Definitely. I mean, I was just telling you, I also interviewed Laura Marie Shainhalls, and she said that it's like, it is a weird thing when you start interacting with these people just because it's not, you start it without thinking about that happening.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you also want to like stay true to what the podcast is because it's entertaining for a reason.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly. Because you don't want to sacrifice that voice. But, it's hard, and it's also as podcasts grow, expectations on what your voice should be change. Like, because, you know, as you get more and more people listening, I think you're more prone to hear people say things like now you're being soft on them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, now that you're friends with them, you're like, this isn't as like good as it used to be. You guys aren't being as like catty as you used to be, which I actually feel like we've maintained the same level. We don't get this a lot, by the way, but I just have seen it with other shows. I think sometimes people will project that they feel like they're losing us to something. So it's really hard getting that balance, but we really hope that we can still maintain it and still just be like shady queens, you know?
Totally.
That's all we want, to be shady queens.
Right, I mean, you and me both.
And you know what, like, honestly, you can't be gay and not be two-faced.
I mean, you said it, not me.
No, that's terrible.
I can't be me and not be two-faced.
Yeah, you see, you know, I'm just saying, like, people know, like, that's part of being gay, is to be totally sweet to someone and be like, that bitch.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you're given a valid reason, you know. I wanted to ask.
Be kicked out of GLAAD. Luckily, I wasn't in it.
What is, you like literally watch like every Bravo show for the most part?
A lot of them.
Okay.
A lot. Like, I'm going to be watching 3 after this tonight.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
How does one find the time, first of all?
It's hard.
Yeah.
I like this. You're having a very Lisa Gibbons moment. I'm like, how does one find the time? I'd say hard with the air quotes because honestly, compared to like a real job, like at an office, it's not hard. But like, it can be a lot sometimes. Like, you know, our crunch time, our Sundays and Mondays, we have to watch all these shows all at once because we record multiple episodes on, so we do usually 2 or 3 on Monday and 2 or 3 on Tuesday, and we release them over the course of the week. So we just find the time by, like, I'll watch one or two tonight and maybe watch another one tomorrow morning. And depending on how far behind I get on the viewing schedule, I will then get more stressed. And then I'll, like, if I'm more stressed, I'll go into the episode being super shady. I'll be in such a crap mood. I'm like, I didn't get to eat this morning. I had to watch Below Deck, you know?
Right. I mean, that's the gold, though, really.
That's what I say.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Well, so I saw your live show in Chicago.
Yes, that's where we first met.
Yes, that's, like, where our drunken conversations began.
Yes.
I lived for that performance of yours because Leanne Locken was in the audience.
Oh, my God.
And Leanne behaved. First of all, watching her watch you was incredible.
Yes.
She thought that you were alone in a room, just the three of you, that it was a personal conversation.
Yeah.
And then she got up and, like, presented herself on the stage and was like, I've been in movies with Sandra Bullock. And you were like, holy fuck. And her publicist was like, sit down, Leanne, sit down.
Leanne was having a moment.
Oh, my God.
She was so great. She's the example of, like, our favorite kind of Bravo stars, where they totally get it in terms of what we do, and she was totally game. She showed up. We were recapping Dallas, and she was there in, like, the third row talking back to us, like you said. And it was hilarious because she was kind of, like, heckling us.
Yeah.
And it was great. You know, we loved it. And she came on, and she answered all the questions. She's totally unfiltered. She's super awesome. She's crazy in the best way.
Mm-hmm.
That Chicago show was so fun. We did two shows that night, and, like, both crowds were amazing. Everyone afterwards was so much fun. That was great. I had a super fun time at Lincoln Hall.
Oh, my God. I had the best time. I got so drunk, and I had to be at the gym at 6 a.m. I literally got 2.5 hours of sleep, and I was still drunk.
Wow. You know, the only thing I feel bad about is that, like, I feel like we're setting unreasonable expectations that we're always going to be able to have, like, a Bravo star at our shows, because we had Leanne at your show, and then in L.A. we had Jeff Lewis and Jenny Poulos and Gage Edward and Shannon Bedore. And then in our New York show, we had, like, three cast members from Summer House and a Gallery Girl. So then when
I got Gallery Girls!
Yeah,
I love that show.
That show is amazing. Anyone who has not seen it should, like, Buy it on iTunes. Yeah, on iTunes, wherever you can, because it's so good.
Oh, my God, do you remember the iconic line where she's like, I've had a French press coffee, and I'm ready to work. The one with the, like, red lip and the short brown hair. I don't remember her name.
Chantal.
Yeah, I'll find the clip. I'll send it to you, but keep going.
There were so many iconic lines. That show was actually ahead of its time, because if it had come out, like, maybe even just, like, 2 years later, when I feel like it would just have been exploded over social media these days. But we just did a San Francisco show a week ago, and we didn't have a Bravo celebrity for it. And I felt bad, but, like, we can only, like, pull so many strings to get people to come to cities where, you know? And so I feel like everyone was, like, waiting for, like, a big Bravo cameo, and we're like, we don't have one. It's just us today, you know?
Like your Taylor Swift moment of, like, please welcome to the stage.
Yeah, exactly.
If
we were to have another New York show, I would love to get Countess Luann. I would love to have that Taylor Swift moment.
Oh, my God.
But we also, like, we have to be careful. We don't want to have it a thing, like, people should always expect it, because that's hard on us, because, like, getting the guests, like, adds a layer of stress, and we barely know what we're doing.
Well, and you guys are great on your own. It's still perfectly entertaining
without you.
I didn't know Leanne was going to be there, and so I, like, looked at the audience and was like, who is she? Because she looked different from up above. I couldn't tell.
Well, who would expect Leanne from Dallas to be in Chicago?
It was crazy. Yeah. I only wish she came to the bar.
Oh,
I feel
like
she would have gotten crazy.
She wanted to. She would have loved it, you know, to be with all the fans. But she had to do, like, Good Morning Chicago or whatever at, like, 4 a.m. But, our San Francisco show was hilarious because it was a huge house for us. It was, like, 425 people or so.
Damn.
And it was a Saturday night, so people were drunk at that show. I don't know if you listen to that recording, I don't know how much you can hear, but it got sloppy and it was crazy, and people were talking back to us, and we had a wedding proposal on the show. It was like,
oh my God,
it was just pure madness. So this whole touring thing is kind of, it's craziness.
That's amazing, though. Like, mm-hmm. I'm so excited for you guys that you've gotten to this point.
Well, thank you.
Do you have, like, a favorite franchise out of the Housewives?
Real Housewives of New York City, to me, is hands down the best.
Same.
It is the one. You know, in previous years, I'd be like, well, it's between Beverly Hills or New York City.
Mm-hmm.
But now that we are, like, now that we have some time under our belt, I think New York City has stood the test of time.
Totally.
They have not had a bad season ever.
Mm-mm.
Ever.
Even like, without Bethany.
Even without Bethany, even that season when they first introduced all the new girls,
yeah.
And it was like, this is weird. And that first half of the season was like, it's good, but it's not as good as it used to be. And then they're like, okay, let's just like ramp it up. And the second half of that season was just like madness. That was when it was like Aviva flying down to,
yes.
You know, was it St. John's or
yeah.
St. Bart's or St. something? That was where she
yeah.
was like, she's like, I expected a banner that said, congratulations.
Yeah, you did it, Aviva, rah, rah.
Oh my god.
And then
take
Ramona and her dad, like, getting in a huge fight. Remember Ramona got him removed from her party?
Oh, Ramona and Aviva's dad.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Was that season or was that the following season?
I don't know.
I think either way.
Was Aviva in more than one season?
She was in two seasons.
I'm shocked by that.
Because season one was just Aviva, mm-hmm. and she was pretty normal for most of the season, and then the thing happened.
Uh-huh.
Season two was when she was bonkers, and she was going after Carol Radziwill, saying that she had a ghostwriter.
Yes.
Even though season one, she was like, Carol, I'm your biggest fan. You're so great. You're so wonderful. And she was kissing Carol's ass.
Yes. And then she was like, you are not a well-wisher, Carol Radziwill.
Aviva Drescher, you know, people hated her, but I feel like over time, there needs to be a little bit of appreciation of the crazy that she brought because it was unique. And New York City always has that brand of crazy. I mean, just season after season, there have been iconic episodes.
Oh, yeah.
Iconic moments. I mean, there's no, like, Beverly Hills is great, but they've had some sort of slower seasons.
For sure.
You know, I think we can reference the Carlton Joyce season,
mm-hmm.
which I didn't think it was as bad as everyone else thought, but, you know, a lot of people did not like the Munchausen season. I actually liked that one quite a bit. But I think New York has been
consistent. I've taken so many quizzes that have told me I'm a Sonia, and I tried to fight it for a while. I was like, fuck no, I'm a Bethany. And I'm like, no, I'm absolutely a Sonia.
I was like, one of the proudest moments of my life came last week when I took a BuzzFeed quiz. I think it was BuzzFeed, where it said, what housewife are you? And I got Luann. I was like, it knows me. The algorithm knows me.
Yes. I had a nightmare last night. It was probably like getting ready for this podcast. I had a nightmare that I met Kelly Kaloran Ben Simone. And she was with her two daughters, and I didn't know which one was C and which one was Teddy.
Oh, yeah, that's, well, I mean, how egregious of you.
I know. And in my dream, I was like, Kelly, oh, and I couldn't say hi to her kids.
Yeah, and how did she react? Did she say, well, she should have really introduced her kids to you.
It's true.
Because she should not be under the assumption that you know her children.
I know.
You know, that would be the polite thing to do in your dream.
She fucked up in my nightmare.
You know, honestly, I think that she fucked up. Okay.
I miss Kelly Kaloran Ben Simone on that show, by the way.
Also, another unique brand of crazy.
Yes.
I don't know if I, that's weird. I don't know if I miss her, but I think I probably do because when she pops up, and she does seem to pop up,
mm-hmm.
it's always like, there's Kelly.
Yeah.
But then when I rewatched Scary Island a few months ago, I was like, she was so crazy. It was almost like hard to watch because
yeah.
like people could not get through to her. And it was like, it was frustrating.
It was like cringy.
It was really cringy. I mean, there are a lot of people, have come through those New York City doors that,
mm-hmm.
you know, should maybe come back. I mean, I think Jill Zarin deserves to come back. I think I'm ready for her to come back.
Me too. When they put her in the trailer for this most previous season with mm-hmm. her being like, I love it. I love the gas. And I thought
yeah.
that was like her moment.
Yeah.
And then it was like one episode.
I feel like they were testing the waters. And I think it's time to bring her back, but they can never bring her back as long as Bethany is there.
True.
And that's the unfortunate part, which I get. I get.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel Bethany was my favorite. I had like a journey with Bethany where she was
yeah.
my favorite. I loved her spinoff. I was
yes.
obsessed with her.
Okay.
Then the divorce happened and she was like really mean
yeah.
to Sonia. Like, I don't think it's a fair fight with her and Sonia. Like,
no.
They're not.
Yeah, no,
and Sonia
it's not.
Even admitted, like, it's not a fair fight. Like, I'm not
yeah.
trying to create an empire, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But then I go back and I'm like, okay, but if you look at Bethany's timeline, it's like she had a shitty childhood. She finally
yeah.
gets her career. She finally gets the husband. She finally has a kid. And then it all gets snatched out from under her. So,
yes.
of course, you're going to be a bitter Bessie, you know?
Yeah, no, I get that. I feel like, actually, Bethany's impulses on the show are, like, fairly normal impulses in life, but
mm-hmm.
the thing that is tricky with these shows is that, like, you do have to shoot these people. So, like, if someone like Ramona, I could see myself being like, you know what, I'm done with her, I don't want to hang out with her, I'm not going to invite her on my trip.
Yeah.
That makes sense in real life.
Yeah.
But, like, you're on a TV show, and it's like, you gotta, like, play ball a little bit, and that's, of course, like, the philosophical, you know, thing with all these reality shows, which is where is like your real life and where does the show begin? Like, what, where does that land? So Bethany, I think that since she came back in her post-divorce or sort of like during divorce phase, I agree, she was like harder and a little more sort of more annoying and a little sort of self-involved.
Yeah.
That was like a little off-putting at first. It was like, ugh, too much. But I've like grown to like really enjoy her again.
Mm-hmm.
And I really appreciate her because through all of that, she still actually brings the drama. She's always like right in the heart of it. And even this past season when she was fighting with Ramon, you're like, can you just like get over this? She does it. She sucks it up and she gets over it for TV. She had that moment in the pool with Ramona.
Right.
And, you know, I wish she would do it with Jill. Because I think, honestly, believe it or not, if she and Jill buried the hatchet, I think actually viewers would really like that.
Oh my God, I would love it. They were Laverne and Shirley in the first season.
Well, people forget that Jill was beloved the first two seasons. The first two seasons, everyone loved Jill. She was like a yenta that everyone loved. That, like, it's like, and then, you know, the fame got to Jill. She just wanted to be more famous, and you could tell, and people really turned on Jill for that. But she, I feel like Jill has gotten some of the worst hatred that any Bravo star has ever received. Like, she's like the example of what you never want to be in a Bravo star.
Yeah.
And that's a little crazy if you really think about it, for what Jill did, like how, like the crime, does the punishment fit the crime?
Right.
You know?
Right. I thought she was a little bit callous, but like then you look at someone like Camille Grammer, who was like insufferable in the first season.
Right.
And then she had that horrible divorce, and then it's like she rose from the ashes and came back, and I actually really love Camille now.
Everyone loves Camille. I mean, talk about a turnaround, because that first season she was like the most hated.
Ugh.
Literally, Us Weekly, Us Magazine did a poll, and Camille was the most hated housewife ever. And then by the next season, everyone loved her. And that can happen. Sometimes I mean, Stassi on Vanderpump Rules was so vile, and then it's like you sometimes need that first season to hate someone, and then all of a sudden you come to appreciate what they can do for you.
Yeah.
In terms of like, allowing you to hate them.
Yeah.
You know?
I've had a long journey with Stassi where I was like, even in seasons one and two. So here's like my personal journey as a person is that like I was like fat and nerdy growing up, and then I like got cute in college, and like the show started when I was like 19.
Oh my goodness.
So like
you're 20. So young.
So I was just like, I see this like pretty skinny bitchy girl, and I got to a point where I was like, I was bullied all of high school, so I'd rather be the mean girl than be bullied anymore.
Right.
So I like looked up to the way she behaved and was like, okay, yeah, she like tells her hot boyfriend what to do, and like she's cool.
Yeah.
And then season two, when she slapped Kristen, I was like, about fucking time someone backhanded Kristen. And then I think now that she's more famous and has more money, she's lost a little bit of her luster to me, because I personally just think the way she presents herself can come off as a little bit like, look at me, I'm so special. And I'm like, I liked you better when you were like hustling.
Yeah, well, I think that Stassi went through a bad Stassi period where she got off brand. You know, Stassi needs to always be the mean girl, whether she likes it or not.
Yeah.
And she went through a period of like almost trying to be like a little fabulous, and she left the show, which was dumb, and then she came back. And when she came back, she had this like granny chic thing going.
Yeah.
And she needed to always be like the hot mean girl. And then, but she has gotten back to being catty. But now it's almost like tongue-in-cheek catty, which I'm fine with, but I do miss when she was just straight up nasty.
Savage.
Just savage.
Like Laura Lee, oh my God.
Yeah, and that's the thing with Vanderpump Rules. One thing that they do have to be wary of is that, you know, a lot of people have paired up, and we're not getting quite as much dating drama. Like, people are in, like, pretty stable relationships. And, you know, remember season one, season two, it was like a lot of like, this person's dating this person, but are they maybe cheating with this person? And Stassi doesn't get to the bottom of it. Last season was good because Stassi was like on a rampage about Lala. And you need to give Stassi someone to hate, and then she's great.
And she's super entertaining.
Yeah, so they always
need to... That being said, I'm afraid of all these people, and I'm afraid to even be talking shit about them on my podcast, like in multiple episodes, but like, I probably won't rub elbows, so if I do.
Yeah, I mean, they are very terrifying people, but they can be nice too until they turn on you, and I'm sure Stassi will turn on me someday, and I'll be like, that's such an honor, thank you.
Yeah, right. Well, have you ever been taken to task by any of these Bravo celebrities? Like, have you ever actually been called out, or do you just preemptively apologize?
Ronnie is more of the preemptive apologizer. I don't really seem to remember being called out by anyone. I've had like Shannon Bedore did some light calling out. She was like, be nice to me, and then she was like, I hear there's a David song you guys created. I don't think, I'm trying to think if anyone has been really, there was one time I did actually meet Luann, and when I was introduced to her, this is more when I was blogging. It's kind of funny that I always introduce myself on my podcast, like the writer, like from bsideblog.com and the Banter Blender, when like both of them are very dormant properties. But
they're so fleshed out. I'm so impressed.
Thank you. Thank you. But with B-Side Blog, I used to blog a lot more. I did like a ranking of like the worst housewives, and I put Luann on the list at that point because that was like during her, like, there was one season where she was like, she teetered, but you know, she always teeters between being hilarious and insufferable, and she was more on the insufferable side. So it's like, I think she deserves to be on the hate list, even though I love her.
Yeah.
And I felt like she had read it, because when someone said, this is Ben Mandelker, he's a blogger, he writes for B-Side Blog, she looked at me and like cocked her head and she goes, oh, how nice. And I was like, oh, she read my list. She knows I'm on the worst, she's on the worst housewives. Or at least that's what I told myself.
Oh my God, I kind of live for the fact though that she potentially threw shade at you.
It was amazing. I was like, this is amazing. It was so frosty.
Yeah.
I was like, ooh, this is great.
Chill in the air.
I love her. Like, I love Luann. I want her to come onto our show. I feel like it will happen someday.
Oh my God, I saw at my serving job in Chicago, Greg Bennett from Real Housewives of New Jersey.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I love his Twitter. I find it to be really funny. And I'm like, he's one of those people, I'm like, we would totally be friends. Like, we'd be bitchy together. And I met him, and he was so bored by me. He was like, oh,
really?
Great.
So my friend has recently befriended him, and she says that he's hilarious and great. So, you know, you never know. Sometimes it's hard to tell with people.
Yeah, you're gonna have a moment in time.
Yeah, exactly.
As Dorinda said, a moment in time.
A moment in time. By the way, you have a very strong, like, Ramona Bethany game, I have to say.
You.
Your impersonations are very good.
I feel like I'm just, like, imitating you guys, imitating them, really.
That's what I say about, like, my Kelly Dodd impersonation. I'm just imitating Amy Phillips, imitating Kelly Dodd.
Yes.
You know?
Amy Phillips is good.
Oh,
she is so good
and so nice, too.
She's a Chicago lady. Did you know that?
I think I did. Mm-hmm. I think I did know that.
I feel like I should know her, but I don't. My time will come.
Someday. Well, she's very nice. You should just tweet at her. She's very responsive. Very down to earth.
This is actually a great segue, though. I was wondering if we could have a conversation as two housewives.
Oh, yeah.
But there's a limit in that it has to be Beverly Hills or New York, because those are the only ones I can actually execute in a way that's not horrible.
Okay. Well, what do you decide? What do you want to be? What do you want me to be?
I feel like you should be Ramona.
Okay, I can do Ramona. That's like my go-to impersonation. I speak in Ramona voice in my everyday life. I'll be like at the store, I'll be like, okay, what do I want to get? Do I want to get some Special K? I'm going to get some Special K, okay?
Oh my God, it's so good.
Like, I literally do that in my head.
So good. I don't know who I should be.
Be Bethany.
Okay, that makes sense.
You're good with Bethany. You're a very good Bethany.
All right. I sent you a video when I bought my tickets for Watch What Happens.
Yeah.
And you responded like, that's actually really good.
And you did it for me in Chicago also.
I did. I was also hammered.
Yeah, but I remembered it though through the hammering.
I'm hammered right now.
Yeah. Well, okay. No one has to know that you're not hammered.
Have you ever done improv?
In eighth grade and summer camp.
Okay.
I feel like I should take an improv class, actually. I've always wanted to take an improv class. Mm-hmm. I moved out here, I wanted to take an improv class. And then it was always like, I don't know if I can spend $250 on that. Like, I was always like, you know, like, I don't know if, like, I need that $250 for, like, rent or for this or that. And then finally I decided, it's kind of funny, I finally decided, yes, I'm going to do improv. I'm going to do it, and I was going to do it with my friend. And then she sort of like signed up. She started doing it like, I thought we were gonna do it together. And she started doing it like a little bit before me, which is not a betrayal. She can do it.
Right.
But then I sort of lost the motivation to do it also, because then she was like already like a little bit ahead of me. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, I don't know. I guess I'll do it. And then I lost my improv motivation. And now, but I do feel like I need to do it, because being on a podcast, listening skills are important. And I am afraid that I don't listen very well sometimes. So.
I worry about that every day.
Oh my God, if I empathize with you, that shows that I did listen though.
Right? We're doing actually a better job
than
listening.
We think. We're listening. Well, having this microphone go back and forth between us is a really helpful way to make sure we don't interrupt each other, right? Because you can only talk when you have the conch, right?
Very Lord of the Flies vibes over here.
Only one of us will survive this podcast.
Right? My friend and I actually want to write a show. I feel like I shouldn't speak this idea because it's so good. We want to write a parody of Babysitter's Club, and that's as much as I'll say, but like, the idea is that Christy from Babysitter's Club, the president of the Babysitter's Club, is like a huge bitch and only lets, like, the person holding the baseball bat can talk in the meetings, but she never gives it to anybody else.
That sounds amazing. What's the Babysitter's Club?
You never watched it? Or
no. Oh, that's before my time. I seem to remember, wasn't there a movie?
There was a movie, there was a TV show. It started as a book series, but it's all these 90s girls that like babysit for fun, which I think is actually like my worst nightmare. Yeah.
Have you ever thought of releasing a techno album called The Babysitter's Dubstep?
Well, I have now. You're giving me so many good ideas. I'm gonna have to pay you royalties.
It'll be an album that would have been cool about 5 years ago.
1,000,000%. So let's see, our improv skills at work, or whatever we were born with.
We're gonna try to yes and.
Yeah, we're gonna try to yes and.
Just pretend we're having an actual, here's the thing, and this is what I sometimes forget, is think less about the impersonation and just pretend like you're actually having a conversation.
You rhymed too.
I'm gonna write that on my wall. Yeah. Just be like, that's my inspiration. It's less about the impersonation, more about the conversation.
Yeah, well, should we give them like a setting or should we just start talking?
Sure, wait, my phone's ringing. Who's calling? I bet this is my parents right now.
Wait, I can pause
it. No. I'll call them afterwards. I'm being interviewed. No.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'll call them in like whenever.
Like 20 minutes?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
All right.
All right, is it too dark to say that they're at Cookie's funeral?
It's not dark. Cookie's funeral. Okay.
All right, great.
All right. So, whoa, this is so sad. Cookie just died. I wish I didn't have to find out by watching Bethany's Snapchat. Oh, Bethany, I'm sorry. I didn't see you right there. I hope you're not feeling too sad, okay? You know, it's funny because one time when I was a little girl, my dog died and I didn't get to have a funeral, although you get to have one, which is very good for you. I'm happy that you get to have a funeral. Look at all these men that are here. Are these men that you opened your legs for, Bethany? I didn't say it, I just heard it, okay?
Wait, I have something. Can you just like not be an asshole? Because like it's like a really hard day for me. Like I buried my dog. Like my dog is like I don't appreciate I don't appreciate that. The fact that you're coming at me. I really like it's a vulnerable time. I want a normal life, you know?
I get that, and for some of us, I just buried my marriage, okay? So I'm grieving too. I would even say that I'm probably grieving more than you. I mean, it was nice that you had a dog, but I had a husband and a family, okay?
You know, honestly, Ron, like, question, like, why do you have to be an asshole? Why do you have to be an asshole? Because, like, this is a really hard time for me. I got a lot going on with Bryn and Skinny Girl. Here, like, here's a Skinny Girl knife. I'm like, I'm gonna stab you with the Skinny Girl knife. I'm like,
You know what? I like this Skinny Girl knife, but I bet it doesn't cut very well. You know, I don't care for your Pinot Grigio either. I'm sorry, it's not as good as Ramona Pinot Grigio. And I'm sure you and Bryn are going through a lot, especially based on your hardcore porn scandal that you had, okay?
But honestly, question, like what are the sales of your Ramona Pinot Grigio, honestly? Like, let's look at the brand, because like, I consider that a cheater brand. Like, I consider that a cheater brand, because I've been doing Skinny Girl for how long? And you weren't even in liquor sales before I was.
I don't understand what a cheetah brand is. Is that referring to my very sexy new dress that's a cheetah print? Because I wear that when I go out and I go to boutique and I try to find men and I get three different glasses. I get a short glass with one lime, a tall glass with some tequila, and then a medium-sized glass with three limes. And I say, hey, who wants to buy me a drink? And all the men come over because I'm very sexy and renewed right now, okay?
You've renewed something, Ramona. You've renewed your buzz. You've renewed, I mean, have you gotten like, you know, vaginal reconstruction? Where's this attitude coming from? I don't understand. What is happening?
The only attitude I have, Bethany, is the attitude of someone who's a very caring friend, who's been there for you all this time. Like when I read a book in the next room when you were sick from bloody vagina, okay?
I feel like, where do I go from that? You're just like so good at yes-anding. And with Bethany, it's like she talks so fast that like it's hard for me to come up with what she's going to say.
That's what happens. When I do my Bethany impersonation, I actually trip over my words because she talks so fast that like you have to be actually in a mental zone to do Bethany, because when you're in the zone, the words come out and you can speak like Bethany. But when you're not in the zone, you wind up tripping over your words and saying nonsense, which is not that far from Real Housewives anyway. But it's hard. I actually sometimes on our podcast, we have a segment called Listener Spotlight. We do have that too, but Crappin's Mailbag, where people ask questions. And what that segment has kind of turned into is like people being sort of like dance monkey dance. They'll say like, hey, what would happen if Ramona and Bethany were at a funeral together? And sometimes Ronnie and I have to do scenes, and sometimes like what we just did right now, you and I, like I feel like in the zone, right? Mm-hmm. I feel like it was good. And sometimes Ronnie and I are really in the zone, but sometimes after like recapping a whole show and it's like, okay, you're Ramona and you're Bethany and you're on a boat and it's sinking and only one of you can get on the canoe and there's a bundt cake on there, what do you do? And sometimes we'll be like, so, Bethany, okay? And I'm like, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say. So even though I feel like this was a strong moment, it does not always, always go smoothly.
That was even hard for me. I thought you killed it. I have to say also Lisa Rinna your guys' impressions of Lisa Rinna like really give me life.
Oh, own it, baby, own it, wah, 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 wah. We've like adopted this, like I feel bad because for people who maybe don't listen to our podcast, it may sound crazy, but like we've created this, our impersonation of her laugh has turned into some strange like reverse monkey noise. It was like, wah, 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 wah. I don't know.
It's so good. I love her as a housewife because she knows, even when Beverly Hills is getting slow, you know that she's trying to start shit.
She does.
She's committed to it. And also, she seems like Leanne to me in that she's like 1,000% in on the joke. Like, don't hustle the hustler. She's just happy she's getting press.
Yeah, she knows what she's doing. Listen, she has a whole career outside of the show. She probably doesn't even need it, but she likes it. And, you know, I think it's always good to be on TV if you're an actress. Mm-hmm. I think she views it as just like a job. Like, okay, I'll say this. Like, okay, you're going to make me look like an ass. Okay, Fine, whatever. I'm getting my paycheck and I'm selling my dusters on QVC and that's fine.
She's really living my best life over here. Can I ask a weird question that I've noticed?
Yes.
Why do so many of the Real Housewives have like weirdly attractive sons? And also weirdly attractive sons that like when they started the show, they were like 12 and then they grow up into like adults. So it's like really uncomfortable to watch. You know what I mean? Like, if you look at Noelle de Lesseps, Frank Catania, Dolores is like model son. And then I also think Joseph Wakili is kind of cute.
So, Luann's son became a real hottie. Which
model.
He's hot. I think Frankie's got a great body, although I think that this season it's getting a little puffy from like supplements. I'll just say supplements because I don't know what else he's taking.
Yeah.
But like last season I thought he looked a little bit better, but he still looks really good. Mm-hmm. I'm just being nitpicking here. You know, Richie Jr., I remember feeling like he had a lot of potential and I'm not sure if it's been totally realized, I have to say. But other sons, well, obviously Gina Keogh had very hot asshole sons, mm-hmm. and Shane and the other one.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are, I know what you're saying, you're right.
It's like
there
a weird
are a lot
phenomenon.
Of, well, hello, Sheree Whitfield, son Cairo. He might actually be the hottest.
Oh my God, he's beautiful. Like he chiseled out of clay.
Yeah, and like I would even say chiseled out of stone.
Let's step it up, please.
Yes.
he's not a dreidel.
Let's give him a better material. He's got those great cheekbones. I feel like there's some others. I'm like thinking right now of who are the sons of housewives. You know what though? You know who I will push back on?
Who?
I don't think Anwar Hadid is model worthy. I'm saying
it. I don't
either. I think he's attractive. He's got nice bone structure, but I think he's a model because Yolanda is his mom and who his sisters are. Because the truth is, as we've learned from ANTM, there are a lot of people who, as long as you're like basically in shape, if you get like done up, you could look like a model, you know? So I feel like he's just sort of like riding the Gigi train. He's attractive, but not model. Well, I don't want to say model attractive, but I don't think he deserves to be a top male model.
Right.
I'm not sure he is, but if people were saying he is, I'm pushing back.
He's not, okay?
Yeah.
No, I agree. Also, I just need to take like you brought up ANTM, and I have to say, so many of those girls were so busted when that show started, and then they'd show their pictures and you'd be like, holy fuck, Photoshop and hair and makeup, like, oh my God.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, if you have a good photographer and if you have a good makeup team and you have a good wardrobe and hello, if you have money, you can be a model.
I know.
As long as you're in shape.
Right? Well, that's like...
caveat.
That's also like, I think the interesting part about all these Bravo shows that have been on for a while, and if you're someone like us who have like followed them, to see the way the housewives change, and like I have this like fucked up game where I try to figure out what procedures they've had done, and then I try to ask myself like, would I maybe get that done? I'm too afraid, but like I don't hate on people who get that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sorry, I'm still trying to think about
Hot Sons.
And I'm sorry. No, it's fine. I'm like in my mind, I'm going to the franchises. I'm going to like New Jersey and Potomac.
Oh, Albie Manzo.
So here's the thing. Maybe he's like hot for straight girls.
Uh-huh.
He's not gay hot.
Okay.
He Albie Manzo was, again, lost potential. He was, in the, season one, it was like he was so cute. Oh, he's like on the path to being hot. And then he just sort of is like, he's like normal, maybe everyday hot. Mm-hmm. Like guy who lives down the street hot, but like not TV hot.
See, I feel like that's what I like, though, is like
that's why I said I think straight girl hot. Because yeah. For straight girls like that shit.
Yeah, it's like accessible. And I also have this like weird soft spot for like Jersey guys.
Yeah.
Like I had a crush on Pauly D for a while, and that was a dark time for me.
Well, Pauly D was cute. He just had bad hair.
Yeah, like bad style.
Yeah, bad style. But you know, like the other thing I think that's unattractive about Albie is that he's like not doing anything with his life.
Yeah.
You know? Like he went to college, then I think he graduated college, and then he did graduate college, but he didn't get into law school, right? So he didn't get into law school, and then he like did police academy, and then he did this, he did that, he did this, and then I was like, ultimately it sort of seemed like he opened up a restaurant, and I feel like, what is he doing?
And then the Blackwater.
Blackwater.
Who wants to drink brownstone. Like, that looks discolored.
I mean, that's a whole other issue. I mean, that's gonna be on there. I'll tell you whose child will probably be attractive. Will be Asa's. Asa and Jermaine Jackson Jr.'s.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good, like, interracial baby. And interracial babies have, like, probably, like, a 95% chance of being hot.
So true. Yeah. Just, like, beautiful almost mixed
always.
Babies.
Almost always. Yeah. Yeah. Mixed babies are, well, people who grew up being mixed or who are mixed usually grow up to be very hot.
Totally. And I'm like, thanks a lot, Mom and Dad. You couldn't be more white or boring.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
Oh, this is one of my last questions for you, actually.
Yeah.
You've watched, like, very many Bravo shows. You were stuck in a desert island with the cast of a franchise. What show and why? And if you need a minute to think,
well, the practical part of me says I would want to be stuck with the cast of Top Chef because they could cook for me.
Oh, that's good.
And then I think, I don't know if there's any Bravo franchise that you would want to be stuck on a desert island with. Like maybe Southern Charm, because maybe they're like, they're like, even though everyone's different, everyone's crazy, they are maybe the most like, they're like the most genteel crazy. Like I don't know if I could deal with Ramona and Bethany every single day.
No.
You know?
I would throw myself into the ocean.
Yeah, but I could probably like, I bet like if you were stuck with the cast of Southern Charm that like, like Shep would be like, gosh, look at that crab, you know, and Craig would be like, that's not a crab. And you just sit there and laugh and like chat with Cameron. Cameron would make funny jokes and, you know, I think that would work. I would say Southern Charm.
Yeah, that's a good one. I feel like, it would be, it would just feel like sort of a bougie like camping trip. And also, I personally, if I were in that situation, would try to reenact the Blue Lagoon with Shep.
Oh, well, yes. So I've actually never seen the Blue Lagoon, but I think if I were to reenact it with someone from that cast, I guess probably Craig would be the one, right?
Because
Craig. It definitely would not be Thomas Ravenel. Maybe Shep, but I think Craig would be my Blue Lagoon choice. And I don't know, Austin doesn't do anything for me. I don't understand why Austin's there.
Was it you guys who said he had Muppet mouth?
Yes. He has Muppet mouth. He looks like he could be like Grover.
Like a puppet.
It like opens up and has like a circular front and like, you know, it just sort of like, it's like the whole mouth. It's almost like instead of the jaw moving, it's like the upper part of his head moves up instead of the jaw moving down. It's Muppet mouth. There's nothing wrong with it. No. It's just an observation.
It's truly though, I was like, I didn't know how to identify what it was with his mouth until you guys said that.
Yeah.
I feel like the cast I would pick would be, would be Summerhouse.
Oh, yeah, that would be a really good cast, too.
Because you know that, like, one of them would have some rich uncle that you would just, like, they would get a helicopter and get you off the island, but in the meantime, you would drink just, like, all these magnums of Whispering Angel.
And they're also, like, fun people. Because, we already know they, like, can exist in, like, a tropical environment, sort of.
Yeah, Hamptons. Ish.
They would be fun. And I've had a very, consider myself very lucky in that I've had actually very, immersive summer house experiences with that cast.
Could you tell me about them?
That they're all really nice. Mm-hmm. The Workus twins are hilarious. They're like exactly like you see them on TV. They're like, Carl, 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 Carl.
It's like two pet parakeets or like,
yeah, I mean? And they're like really fun to talk to. Mm-hmm. Steven is great. He's like really shady and hilarious. Mm-hmm. I didn't really hang out with Lindsay. She was like drunk when I met her.
Okay. Have you hung out with Carl?
I met Carl. He seemed fine, but I didn't really talk with him. Mm-hmm. And Kyle is super nice and really fun.
Is Kyle the waspy one that like told Stassi she looked like Steve Jobs?
Yes.
Oh my God. He seems just like your like dumb fratty big brother who just wants to get obliterated.
Exactly. And he does get obliterated. Yeah, I hope you watch Summer House this season.
Yeah.
So that way you can learn more about how embedded I was.
Oh my God. Oh, I'm excited.
Well, I mean, I visited the summer house. So I don't know if I'm actually gonna be in it or not, but you might see me in the background.
Your life is
It was like,
amazing.
I've been waiting to like brag about that all pod. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh my God.
It's like the most low level sort of brag. It's like I went to the summer house.
But also but you it went was to a wedding with Tom and Ariana.
That's right. Oh, my God. I'm bookending this entire podcast with some bragging about Bravo celebrities I hung out with.
I know. I'm so happy she got to participate, and that is Ariana Mad at Us theme song.
Oh, yeah. That was great. And honestly, I mean, I could say that the cast of Vanderpump Rules would be a good, like, stuck on a desert island with thing, because I was just kind of, like, on a desert island with Tom and Ariana.
Yeah.
So I sort of dipped my toes in that experience.
I feel like they would eat me. They'd be like, she's afraid of us. She dies first. Yeah. So I wouldn't pick them.
Yeah, I think with Vanderpump Rules, it would be good to have, like, some of the members, but not all of the members. Because if all the members, that's going to be crazy turf war. That would be Lord of the Flies.
It truly would be.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for being here. Well, can you plug, like, some of your stuff so that my listeners, if they're not Kravins listeners yet, and, you know, they can find you?
Yes, I can. The podcast is called Watch for Kravins. It's all about Bravo. It's a crazy podcast. We do lots of impersonations, but it's really fun. And we do 5 episodes a week, so you really get your Bravo fix, plus a bonus episode for Patreon subscribers. If you go to watchforkravins.com, that's links to all of our social media and things like that. And we just started selling merchandise on that site today.
Hell yeah.
I'm at B-Side Blog, that's B-S-I-D-E-B-L-O-G, on Twitter and on Instagram, and I think that's it. And we're going to have some more live shows that we're going to be announcing, hopefully very, very, very soon. It's just hard to wrangle all these different venues.
Oh, yay!
It's not like a ton of venues, it's like 3, but like...
That's exciting!
We're hoping to announce those dates extremely soon, ideally before Thanksgiving. So,
oh my God,
yes, maybe we'll be coming to a town near you.
Oh, I hope so, for my listeners' sake. You guys,
yeah.
You should only be so lucky. You know?
And I want to go back to Chicago because that was so fun. So hopefully,
you have to come back.
Yes, we have to.
We have to gallivant around like Countess Luann.
Oh, absolutely.
And listeners, if somehow you're listening to my podcast and you don't follow me yet, I'm at Hannah A. Brown on Twitter and Instagram. Thanks for listening. Ben, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Until next time, guys. Bye.
Bye.